All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and this is Memorial Day weekend. Thank you very much for joining us today. We've got a couple of, I think, pretty cool things that we're going to be talking to you about on the air. We've got a guest from the Honor Flight program, our local part of it is Talon Flight. That's out of Kalamazoo, Michigan, and they handle our area here in Southeast Michigan. So we've got a representative from them on. Hopefully we're going to have one of the participants on. Evidently there are some people are having some problems with Zoom, but we'll figure it all out. If you are trying to get us today, you can call the station at 734-822-1600, and we'll work it that way. You know, technology is grand, and we'll just get everybody going at the same time. So as I mentioned before, we're going to be talking about the Honor Flight, which most of you may know, is that you can, they arrange flights for veterans to go to Washington to all the various memorials and so forth. So that's going to be on first. Then we're going to have our expert, benefits expert on, shortly thereafter, retired general, Brigadier General Carol Ann Fasson from Legal Help for Veterans is going to be here to answer any questions you might have about benefits today. And then we're going to be talking about Memorial Day a little bit more, and going to end up the program replaying a short little interview that Gary Lilly did about Arlington, I think it was back in 2011. So I encourage you to stick around. And, you know, if you have any thoughts about Memorial Day, what does it really mean to you? We would appreciate your call. Again, that number is 734-822-1600. Before we get into our first interview, I want to make sure that we're thank our sponsors. And we can't, you know, we can't do this whole program without them. So Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans disability claims. You can give them a call at 800-693-4800. That's Legal Help for Veterans, 800-693-4800. You can also check out their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com. You can get your claim started right away. And the National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, they are the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. Or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. We also want to thank our local veteran service organizations for their long, long time support. You know, we've been doing this for 20 years. It's pretty cool, huh? The Owen Press Corps and American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And if you'd like to be a sponsor of Veterans Radio, you have to remember that Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America, which is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. You can just go to our website now. I think we've got everything squared away. We're still working on it, but go to veteransradio.org. O-R-G. Veteransradio.org, and you'll be able to make a donation there. So hopefully not everything is working smoothly. The last week it has not been doing so. So we're trying like crazy to get everything all squared away for you. And so I'm going to go right to our first interview, and that is with, where did he go? Tyler Horton. There we go. So we've got Tyler Horton on joining us right now. He's the marketing fundraiser lead for Talon branch of the Honor Flights. So Tyler, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And I wanted to tell, I thought Memorial Day was kind of, you know, it's such a meaningful day to veterans and, you know, veterans families and hopefully to many people across the country, because what we are doing on Memorial Day is that we are honoring those who paid the ultimate price in the service of our country. And I can't think of a better thing for people to do than to go to Washington or go to their local memorials and so forth. And you provide that opportunity for many veterans. So could you tell us how your program works?
Absolutely. And like you said, I think that today is like any day, right? I mean, I think that as a nation, we should be thankful for those that served. And especially today when we're looking at what this day means, you know, it's not about the cookouts, the bonfires, the parades. It's 100% about those that never made it home. Fortunately, there are a lot of really good ones that that did make it home, and we have the opportunity to take them on a for our organization, Talons Out Honor Flight. We take them on a one-day trip from the Kalamazoo Airport over to Washington, D.C. We leave in the morning and get back in the evening. While we're in D.C., we will travel in tour buses and coaches and take them to different memorials throughout the D.C. area, a few of those. And our schedule does change on occasion, but, you know, to name a few, we're looking at the Air Force Memorial. We get to look at the Arlington National Cemetery and watch the changing of the guard. There's so many more in that area, but that's just a couple that immediately pop out that we've been able to take everybody to.
But how do we get on that flight? How would I go about doing this?
So there are, you can go to our website, which is talentsouthonorflight.org, O-R-G. There is a registration on there. You can sign up as a veteran. So right now we are flying World War II, Korean, and Vietnam era veterans on flight, along with terminally ill veterans from any era. And then if there is somebody that would like to be a guardian, they can do so on the same website. There's just a guardian application or a veterans application.
And you know, we're talking to people across the country here, so they may not be that fired up about coming to Kalamazoo, which I don't understand why not. But if they go to the main website, I mean, just go into Google and type in honor flights, they can find a local organization that would help them out, correctly?
Absolutely. So there's different chapters and hubs throughout the United States. It's not just ones that are close to D.C. There's ones that are close to D.C. There's ones that are even, we just recently flew a flight from Puerto Rico up to Washington, D.C. There's ones out of the California area. They're all over. So going on Honor Flight's website, like you said, you can Google it. It'll bring you right to their website. It'll show you your nearest hub and the ability to sign up through them as well.
And this doesn't cost anything.
For the veteran, no, it would not cost for the veteran to go. That's the beauty of my job is marketing and fundraising for us. So each chapter and each like I said, each hub has a different price point of what they would charge a guardian to go. Speaking for our hub, we have, it's a $500 fee for the guardian to go on flight, and that covers their flight and their meals for the day as well. But they get to go and experience the same thing as far as being there with a veteran, and that's if for our hub, if they are a guardian, you know, they're attached to a veteran from the moment we leave Kalamazoo until the moment we get back.
Well, I think this is so cool. And we were talking with Tyler Horton. He's with the Talons Out. That's T-A-L-O-N-S Out, honorflight.org. That happens to be here in Michigan. He's a Navy veteran. And also joining us on the line is an Army veteran, Brian Graff, who recently took your trip with you. So, hey, Brian, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Glad to be here. I'm glad that the Zoom is not working because I just came in off the yard and working and planting plants, and I probably look better on the radio than I did on Zoom anyhow.
Well, most of us have a great face for radio.
Yes. So, Tyler, Brian, please contact me later on. I'd like to talk to you about raising funds for Talons Out. He's still there.
That's an unpaid political announcement there. So, Brian, tell me about your trip. You just got back, was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
It was last week. Last week, Friday, my son and I took my youngest son with me. It was just a glorious trip for him to be with me to experience that. I don't think I have to tell any Vietnam veterans what our welcome home was. We didn't get a ticker tape parade down the streets of New York and Chicago or Detroit, wherever we may be from. My experience coming home was I got to Travis Air Force Base right outside of Oakland International about 2 a.m. And when I went to the terminal, of course, there wasn't many people there at all, and nobody to greet me. One of the thrilling things, I mean, my PTSD was working overtime. It was on steroids on this whole trip. I had a glorious dinner on Friday night. They emptied a hangar, took a couple jets out of the hangar, and we had probably a couple hundred people in there. It was a nice buffet-type dinner that we had. And then bright and early, had to get up about 4:30 to make sure we got over to the airport on time. I think we took off about 6:30. And kind of uniquely, the fire department was out there, Dale, and they gave us a 2-gun water gun salute. So there was a fire truck on each side of the airplane and shot water over the plane. And that's cool. It gave us the same salute when we got to Washington, D.C. There was a fire department there that kind of hosed down the plane. So that was pretty unique. As Tyler said, that our first stop was Arlington. We saw the changes in the guards. And by the way, it was 92%, I think 92 or 93% chance of rain that day. But as we always had in the Army, it never rains in the Army. It rains on the Army. And it didn't rain until about 4:30 that day, which was just glorious. I mean, it was a little drizzle in the morning at Arlington that I perspire more than that. That was really nice. Saw the change in the guards. Matter of fact, one of the guards was a female. And I've experienced changing the guards many times there in D.C. That's the first time I've seen a female. And she is actually the sixth female guard to be honored with that assignment. So after that, we were bused over to the Vietnam Wall. And from there, we went to the Korean Memorial. Oh, actually, we went to the Air Force Memorial first. And that's a brand new memorial. Pretty exciting. It was just west of the Pentagon. And then went to the Vietnam Wall, and then to the Korean Memorial, then to the World War II Memorial. On the flight, we had 89 veterans on the flight. 74 of them were from Vietnam, and there were two World War II veterans on there. One was 96, and the other one was 98. And mm-hmm. Dale, the 98, he looked like he was 60. He was a pediatrician from U of M Hospital, and he just cracked jokes all day long. He was just hilarious, but it was a treasure to, you know, witness with them there, to enjoy their company and their stories. So probably the most exciting thing for me, anyhow, where it really hit me hard, is when we came back from D.C. Actually, when we landed, there was probably in the terminal there maybe all 50 to 60 civilians or people there that were cheering us and clapping for us when we got off the plane. That was pretty neat. But when we got back, there's a motorcycle group, I believe it's called Patriots of Freedom. They go to the military funerals to protect the families of military funerals because there's a lot of protesting there. And we must have had 35 to 40 motorcyclists there that escorted us, plus the fire department, plus the police department, escorted us from the airport to the Air Zoo, which is an air museum. And on the outside of that, when we got off the bus, there was a couple hundred people there just cheering. But that wasn't the big thing. When we got into the museum, there were thousands of people there and just cheering us. So we had to walk through a kind of a snake through the museum until we got to our seats. And it just blew me away. I was so much in tears that My daughter-in-law was there, kind of surprised me. The whole family was supposed to be there, but not everybody made it. But it was thrilling. It's the welcome home that, you know, we never got. And
yeah, I can't imagine the emotions you must have been going through with, you know, through the whole day.
Oh yeah, it was just as, you know, share some stories with veterans. You know, where are you from? And, you know, when did you serve and all this? And, you know, and ironically, there was we were on a bus someplace and some guy shouted out, you know, when I went to Fort Knox, I came out of Fort Wayne, which is in Detroit. And I go, wait a minute. I stood up and walked back there and said, when did you go to Fort Knox? Well, he was there in 67. And the guy behind him, he goes, well, I was there in 70. I goes, well, I was right between you. So, you know, I got there in 68. And it's kind of neat to, you know, to see people like that, you know, see if we served with people. Well, there was one, there's a couple guys that got up and sang a song or something during the dinner on Friday. But the head, her name is Angie, she said, somebody asked me about, is there a list of names of all these veterans that are here? Who said that? And, of course, I raised my hand, and she said, well, you've got a story. And I said, no, I really don't have a story. I just want, well, first off, does anybody know Brian Graff? You know, there were a couple hundred people there. Nobody said anything. Good. I could say what I want to say. Nobody's going to remember me. But it was a thrill of a lifetime. Now, I put an application in 3 years ago, by the way. And I got a call one time, but I was, we have a place down in Alabama where I was that time of year. And I said, I just can't make it. And I said, well, maybe your name will come up again. So I figured they threw my application away or came on the bottom of the pile. But no, they called me this year, sometime in February. I said, I'm going. I was excited to go.
So you would recommend this to anybody?
Any veteran. If you've never been to D.C., which I've had many, many, many times over the years, I had an aunt that lived in Baltimore, Maryland, so every time we went to see her during Easter time, we'd go to D.C. But anybody that's not been there or seen the memorials there, it's always hard for me, Dale, at the wall. I showed my son one of the guys that I served with that I went to grade school with, and he went to Vietnam in December and lost his life in December, so it was pretty quick for him. But I was able to find his name again on the wall. So, yeah, it's pretty emotional.
It is. It is. You know, this whole day is emotional anyway, and I'm glad that you got to do that. That opportunity. That's awesome for me. I would just as soon sign off right now and go fill out my application, but I've got another 40 minutes to go.
I definitely would. I mean, I'd recommend it to any veteran out there to do the same. I mean, if you have a chance encounter to even sit down and talk with a World War II veteran, I mean, the World War I veterans, I believe, are all gone now, but the World War II, there's not many of them. And of course, more than next are the Korean Wars before us, but, just to hear their stories and what they went through, you could pretty much, you know, walk a mile in their shoes.
I think it's great, and I'm so happy for you, Brian, that you were able to go on this thing. Brian is an Army veteran in Vietnam. And also I want to make sure that I thank Tyler Horton for coming on and talking about the local hub, is what they call them, hub for the honor flights. This is the Talons Out Honor Flight that, in our case, goes out of Kalamazoo. I think there's three or four groups in Michigan that handle these honor flights. And then, of course, all across the country. So, if you know, no matter where you're listening to Veterans Radio today, go to Honor Flight and click on your hub, and I'll bet you'll find one that's within, you know, a reasonable distance for you to go. And I encourage you to do this. The generations are getting, you know, we're the old guys now. For all you Vietnamers out there, we're the old guys now. You know, there's only about not that many World War II veterans left, which is really sad. Brian pointed out, there's none of the World War I's are left. Many Koreans are veterans are left. But this is your opportunity to go. if you've never been, especially if you have never been to Washington and seen all of these just amazing monuments and the welcome that you get, you finally get that welcome home that so many of us needed. And, you know, we just never really understood, you know, how much people really appreciated the, you know, what we did. And
the first thing we did going to Arlington, and I knew something about that. I couldn't remember all the stats about it. There's 429,000 grave sites there, and Arlington just purchased 70 more acres to expand that. So any military veteran can be buried there as well as their spouse. It's an awesome feeling just to stand there and see how many tombstones are there. Just unbelievable.
I know. Well, Brian, thank you very much for telling your story about going there. And Tyler, thank you very much for being on our program and talking about the Honor Flight programs that are around all over the country. And enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend as best you can.
Thank you, Dale.
For having us on. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. So we're not going to take a break. We're going to go right into the benefits part of our program right now. And joining me now on the line is Carol Ann Falzone, who is with Legal Help for Veterans. She's a retired Air Force nurse, Brigadier General type. So I'm standing at attention right now as I'm talking to her. And so, Carol Ann, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. I just accepted your salute, and you may sit down.
Ooh, boy, that was tough. I don't know what's going on in the world of benefits. I got an email about a new app for our phones called RX Refill Functionality. And evidently now we can go, we can refill our prescriptions utilizing our phones, which is kind of cool, you know, as we figure out how this technology works and so forth. And unfortunately, Brian Hayes from the VA couldn't join us today because he's off with family. So that's my update from the VA right now, is that there's a new app for filling out your prescriptions. But if you're looking for information on the VA, on the hospital side of it, you can always just go to va.gov and look under health. And there's all kinds of articles there. The VA is really doing, I think, just a super job of, you know, jumping into the 21st century and offering so many, many, many helpful outlets for veterans, for their families, and so forth. There are many, you know, these out clinics that are you know, just seem to be popping up all over the country, I'm sure. So check those out.
You know, you're exactly correct. Regarding prescriptions, I think, as you well know, they're trying to make it as convenient as possible. Even when you see your provider, they're trying to get scripts mailed to you as quickly as possible. And, you know, you could call in and get your scripts renewed, and I think that's what, looking at an app, that's what it's all about, getting your orders, and that's all on the VHA side, you know, the health administration side, versus right, the veterans benefit side, which is the disability side, and, you know, all of these are connected. And then the third pillar is the cemetery side, which is, you know, what the veterans do so well when we talk about Arlington and, you know, placement of the flags and, you know, all of the ceremonies that are taking place today and tomorrow. And so, yes, the VA attempts to honor our veterans in all of these three pillars, Dale. And tomorrow being, and today, some of the celebrations, this is one of the most solemn ceremonies that, you know, we celebrate to remember those lives that were lost and what it, you know, really means. And I was so glad when you gave the intro to talk about Gary Lilly and remembering the spiel with Arlington, because he did that so eloquently and that, you know, so memorable. And so thanks for doing
really,
that.
It's really emotional when you talk about Gary, or, you know, I mean, he's not the only veteran that all of us are missing. Putting this program together turned out to be a lot more emotional than I had imagined, because I originally was just planning on just running, you know, rerunning, you know, Gary's Memorial Day program. And it was just so difficult to, you know, just to hear his voice and, you know, listen to the music. And, you know, we're going to be playing, you know, we've got Trace Adkins, Arlington, that we're going to play as we go out of today's program. And I've also got Michael J. Martin's Who Are the Names on the Wall. All of these things that are just so meaningful to you know, the veterans out there and their families, especially their families. I mean, there's, you know, I don't think we all really appreciate what the families go through. And, it, you know, I was looking at the numbers today and I was, you know, I was morbid, I guess it was, you know, how many Americans have died in the service of their country, you know, as far as, you know, in battle and so forth. And it's over 650,000 since the revolution. And you would say, well, yeah, that's not as many as I thought it was. Well, we also lost 560 some odd thousand to disease and accidents. So well over a million people have died in the service of our country. And, you know, and today is the day that we remember them. And, you know, all the veterans that are sitting out there and you know, and I'm sure, you know, if they're, you know, they're in their man cave or their woman's cave or whatever it is, and they look around, there are pictures of these people that, you know, that they might have served with, and some are not here and some are, you know, some are gone. And you think about all of the families that were disruptive, all of the children that were never born, all of the grandchildren that were never born. And you just, you can't help but get emotional about it.
Well, I want to share with you a little story. About a year ago, prior to Memorial Day last year, a granddaughter came to me, a friend, and she said to me, Carolyn, I know you go out and you work predominantly with disability benefits and help veterans, but could you help me with my grandpa? I said, sure. She said he was a World War I veteran, and he has a gravestone. And the cemetery that he's in does not recognize him as a veteran. And he was a decorated veteran, and he's not in the cemetery section of a veteran. And we cannot get them to recognize him, to put a flag out. So we go out, and we put a flag on his grave every year, and I want him to be recognized with a marker, etc. So this was maybe 2 months before Memorial Day, Dale. So I started, I think you know me well enough, I started this campaign, and I went to the cemetery and got his records, and the cemetery said, well, we need to work through the process. And so I started working with the VA and the powers that be. And I thought, okay. And they said, well, it might take some time. So that Memorial Day passed, and I thought, well, we could get this done by Veterans Day. And that Veterans Day came, and we filled out all the paperwork that was asked of us. And now this granddaughter started 18 years ago, and the family, the grandfather passed in 1986 to get her grandpa recognized. And the significance of this is my tata, who served in World War I, was significant for why I joined the military. And so when she told me the story of her grandpa, it brought up so many memories for me. So I continued this campaign, and as it turned out, going through the VA, making my contacts, and going through the process, about in March of this year, I got a call from D.C., and they found his paperwork for the third time. They processed it. I found an outstanding company here in Michigan who said, I will take this paperwork, we'll get the medallion, I will go to the cemetery, I'll put the medallion on the stone. And 2 weeks ago, the medallion was placed on the stone. I went with the granddaughter a week ago, and the family went out there a week ago, and the grandpa has the stone, and the family went out the other day. And the grandpa, after 18 years, is recognized as a veteran. And so when you were just talking about the family, this family, is it finally at peace that their grandpa, their father, their great-grandpa will be recognized for his service, Dale? And that's what it's all about.
That's true. That's what it's all about. Listen, Carolyn, I'd like you to stick around, can you? We're going to do the Medal of Honor here in just a second, and I'd like you to hang around so we come back on the other side, okay?
Okay. I'm not going anywhere, Dale.
Okay. All right. We're gonna go in and play our Medal of Honor segment, and that's going to be followed up by Michael J. Martin's rendition of Who Are the Names on the Wall, and then you can join us on the other side. The number, if you want to get in on it, is 734-822-1600. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Master Sergeant Gary Gordon requested permission 3 times to be inserted into a hot fire zone to protect downed helicopter crews before he got it. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Gordon, while serving as sniper team leader in Mogadishu, provided precision fire from the lead helicopter during an assault and at 2 helicopter crash sites. When Gordon learned that ground forces were not immediately available to secure the 2nd crash site, he and another sniper unhesitatingly volunteered to be inserted to protect the 4 critically wounded personnel. When debris and enemy ground fire at the site caused them to abort the first attempt, Gordon was inserted 100 meters south of the crash site. Gordon and his fellow sniper fought their way to reach the critically injured crew members. Gordon immediately pulled the pilot and the other crew members from the aircraft. Gordon used his long-range rifle and sidearm to kill an undetermined number of attackers until he ran out of ammunition. He then went back to the wreckage, recovering some of the crew's weapons and ammunition. Even though he was critically low on ammunition, he provided some of it to the dazed pilot and then radioed for help. After his team member was fatally wounded and his own rifle ammunition exhausted, he returned to the wreckage, recovering a rifle with the last 5 rounds of ammunition, and gave it to the pilot with the words, "Good luck." Then, armed only with his pistol, Gordon continued to fight until he was fatally wounded. His actions saved the pilot's life. He was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor on May 23, 1994, by President Clinton.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. At the end of your workday, do you know you've made a difference? The Veterans Affairs medical staff do. The doctors, nurses, counselors, and health technicians get to care for perhaps the most deserving of all Americans, the men and women who've served in our nation's armed forces. Visit vacareers.va.gov. to find out how you can make a difference too.
Who are the names on the wall?
Lord, I've seen so many.
Don Michaels is on that wall. And Hurley Boy, Dave Lynch,
Harlan Reed, Billy Thompson.
There's a lot of names that I can't recall. I never knew. Over there, everybody had nicknames. Okey, Doc, Zolda, Booty. You hardly ever know somebody's real name. One guy got blown away on his first day. I didn't even have a chance to meet him. You read faces, aren't you lying?
Don, Clay, Kuresh, El Valley, Doc, Toe, K-Sound.
Faces is scroll. It's hard to remember. Like me, the names on the wall. Young and foolish, rash and full of bravado. Hell, a lot of them still virgin.
They weren't innocent long.
Could have been my name on that wall. It probably is. Out of 57,939 names, just about there, Michael Martin up there somewhere. On a dim table too.
Don't forget the holidays.
But it could have been me. If it weren't for Lady Luck or Sister Fate or whatever, it could have been
whatever.
I can see my reflection in that polished black granite. The images of my soul.
Who are the names
on the wall? Who are the names on the wall? Did it ever really matter at all? Who are the names on the wall?
And what about the ones that came home to go back to Nam every night when they're supposed to? We ought to have our names on the wall. Maybe this one, carved in the back like so much coffee.
Names, addresses, hometowns, phone numbers.
This world like to know who among the survivors still survives. Because a lot of them didn't. Thousands and thousands died.
Killed themselves
after they got back to the world.
These enormous smiles.
Hell yes, it's a matter. It's mattered to me. It's affected everything I've ever done since. It mattered to the friends and the families, the wives and the lovers and the sisters and the brothers and the mothers and the fathers and the sons and the daughters. It mattered. It's mattered to all the ones who came back but left pieces of themselves behind. It mattered to them, the names on the wall,
charged songs,
the ones who paid the price. It mattered. Still on the roots for
I think I'm the man.
Who are the names on the wall? Who are the names on the wall? Who are the names on the wall?
Devil's deal.
They never really matter at all.
No,
they never really matter. Who are the names on the wall? 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 Who are the names on the wall?
Back here on Veterans Radio. That was Michael J. Martin's with Who Are the Names on the Wall. It's always such a powerful song when you figure, all of you close your eyes. You've all got this wall in your head right now, and you can just see all of those young men and women who lost their lives in the service of our country. You can also see all your friends and family that have gone before you. But, Carol Ann, I wanted to just have you on for a minute. We've only got a couple of seconds before I go into Gary Lilly's interview. But one of the things you just mentioned when you found finally got the plaque for the World War I veteran is one of Gary Lilly's, one of my favorite stories was he found out that there was a Revolutionary War veteran's grave down in between Saline and Milan, pretty much unknown. And he went out and he finally got authorization. So now it is officially has a marker on it and everything else that this guy was a Revolutionary War soldier. And, you know, and that's just the way he was. And that's not, and you know, and that's just the way you are. And that's just the way that there are so many people out there that are just, you know, trying to make sure the veterans get the recognition that they deserve, you know, whether they're alive or not. And I think that's what's important.
Well, that's important, but it's also important, Dale, for their families, because our families sacrificed while we were serving. And you know, sometimes people forget that, you know. We've got young men and women now serving our country right now, and they're at home waiting for them. And some will never return, you know, Gold Star families. And we sometimes fail to remember that. You know, 1% of the country has served. And so it has given us our freedoms. And I just think we lose sight of that, you know. And so that's why this Veterans Radio, the program you're doing today to remember that, it is so important. It's an hour, but it's so very important. All of the events going on this weekend, you know, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, should be almost every day to keep that in everybody's spotlight. So thank you very much for what you're doing. And congratulations again for being the Veteran of the Day from the VA earlier this week. Very deserving, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was a total surprise, but I want to make sure that people are aware. So when you go to the parade tomorrow, or you go out and, you know, you have the picnic and everything else with your family, you know, give them that big giant family hug, but take a second just to thank all these men and women who unfortunately did not make it back, because without their sacrifices, you wouldn't be having that picnic and we wouldn't be having these parades. I can't imagine what our life would be like if it hadn't been for all of them. And so that's what I want you to think about tomorrow, just for a second, maybe a little longer if you can do it. But there are all kinds of events that are going to be going on. And locally, there is a watch fire tonight. For those of you in Southeast Michigan, it's out at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial over in Ypsilanti Township on Huron River Drive. And they are going to be burning all of the discarded flags in the appropriate manner, starting at 6 o'clock today. And then, of course, tomorrow are the parades all over the country, of course, and on TV and everything else. And you're going to hear some great songs and great music, and great patriotism is going to be out there. But let's see if we can keep that patriotism going a little bit more than one day. All right?
Yes.
That's my goal.
Excellent.
That's my goal for all of you. And I think that, you know, that Carol Ann and the rest of the people that are involved with us here at Veterans Radio, and all of the people that I have met over the last 20 years of doing this program, it's been such an honor to tell their stories. You know, luckily we did get to talk to a few World War I veterans, a lot of World War II, of course, a lot of Vietnam, and quite a few Iraq, Afghanistan veterans as well. And that's our goal. We just want to keep telling those stories as long as we possibly can. And so
absolutely.
Asking for your help. So hopefully, Carol Ann, you and Jim will have a pleasant Memorial Day. I'm sure that you'll be doing something fantastic. And in memory of all sorts of different veterans that you both have known throughout your lives. I have to cut us off because we're going right now into our interview that Gary held with a gentleman named, where did he go? Oh, excuse me. Anyway, he's talking with a gentleman who had a website called ArlingtonCemetery.org. So this is Gary Lilly from 2011. Till next week, this is Dale Thronberry. You are dismissed.
We're with Michael Patterson talking about the Arlington National Cemetery. He's got the fabulous website on it. We'll repeat it again later. Right now, I'd like to have you tell us about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Old Guard, the changing of the guard. Give us a bit of a history on that, if you would, please.
I'd be glad to, Gary. Well, you know, the Tomb of the Unknowns is the second most visited place in Arlington National Cemetery. Most of the visitors who come go immediately to John F. Kennedy's gravesite, but the place to me, the center point of the cemetery, is the Tomb of the Unknowns. It was established in 1921 when a unknown from World War I was selected and interred, you know, right behind the Memorial Amphitheater at Arlington. In 1958, he was joined by unknowns from World War II and Korea. And then in 1998, there was a Vietnam unknown chosen. And I had mentioned that because I know that that's near and dear to your heart. And eventually, the Vietnam unknown was identified and removed from the tomb. And that was Air Force First Lieutenant Michael Joseph Blassie. And they were able to identify him through mitochondrial DNA. And at his family's request, he was removed, and he was brought home to Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery near his home in Missouri. And he was certainly an American hero as well. But, you know, he was brought back to his home. But the Tomb of the Unknowns has been guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, by the 3rd United States Infantry, who is commonly referred to as the Old Guard. They earned that name in the Mexican War back in the 1800s by the way that they participated in that war. And they are the oldest continuous military organization in the United States Army. And they are the only military unit that's authorized to have bayonets on their rifles at all times. But these are guys who are specially trained, obviously. They are the honor guard of the United States Army.
How are they selected?
They are selected on military bearing, on intelligence, on dedication to duty. There's height and weight restrictions. They have to have 28-inch waist, for instance, which I haven't seen since I think I was 10 years old. But these guys are out there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, in rain, in snow, in horrible weather, in heat.
I understand that during a storm a few years ago, a blizzard that was so bad, they were authorized to not do their guarding and turned it down, and they stayed out there anyway?
Yes, they do. If you've been there, Gary, and I know you have,
I have.
There's a little booth off to the side.
Right.
And when the snow piles up, they will retreat to that booth and stay at attention while the area that they march on is cleaned, and then they resume their march. They are the most dedicated, wonderful young men and women. There have been 3 tomb guards who are females that you'll ever know. And as far as the tomb itself, it's having some issues right now because of some cracks that have formed. And there are discussions underway whether the tomb should be replaced, at least the cap, the top of it that we're all familiar with,
right,
or whether it should be repaired. And there have been issues over the years where it has been attempted to repair it.
I'm glad they're not just jumping into it and doing something that they're...
I'm glad they're not either. Congress has stuck their hand into it and said, listen, let's you know, sit back and let's research this a little bit.
Well,
but I think there's a couple of very poignant things about the tomb, and one is the inscription which sits on the front of it, which I think is pretty familiar to all of our veterans friends out there, and it says merely, here rests an honored, glory, an American soldier known but to God. And that is the truth. I mean, this is simply an American soldier. And, you know, whether, like yourself, if you're a CB or you're a sailor or a Marine or a Coast Guardsman or an airman, you know, to be called an American soldier is certainly something that you can be proud of.
Oh.
And if I could, just for a second, I'd like to read to you the Sentinel's Creed, if I could.
Please do.
And it says, my dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted. In the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter. With the dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of the elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence to the best of my ability. It is he who commands the respect I protect, his bravery that made us so proud. Surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night, this soldier will in honored glory rest under my eternal vigilance. And let me tell you what, these guys take that so seriously.
And this is an oath they all take.
They all take. And one of the most cherished awards that as an Army soldier you can earn is the Honor Guard badge. And, you know, you have to pass some very stringent requirements to earn that. And not even all of the old guard guys who guard the tomb earn that. And
you have to be outstanding amongst the outstanding.
You absolutely have to be. And once you earn that, you can wear that on your uniform no matter where you go or whatever assignment you go to after you've served at the tomb. It's very special.
If you folks out there have not seen the changing of the guard at Arlington National Cemetery, that's something that you must do before you leave this planet Earth. The people there, you look at these young people and you say, this country is good. This country is good. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, if I could throw sort of a semi-political thing in, you know, from what Michelle Obama said, how could you look at that and not be proud to be an American?
Impossible.
Impossible indeed.
And so when it comes to laying the wreath, who is qualified to lay the wreath? We've got, just a little over a minute left.
Well, you know, obviously, any military group, veterans groups, on the website I have a link where you can get information on that. You can write in on your group's letterhead and, you know, request a date. But, you know, you should request a couple of dates because, you know, it is quite a popular thing. But you'll send into to the cemetery. There's people who handle requests and do the scheduling.
And that's on your website, correct?
It absolutely is. There's a link right to it on the front page.
And as I mentioned earlier, that my Vietnam Veterans of America chapter, one of the members wrote in, requested that, and as the president that year, I had the honor of laying the wreath. Now, we've come to the end of the show, Michael. I can't believe it.
And I can't either, Gary. It's been really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for being on. We want to thank you for listening in on Veterans Radio.
Never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. Man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. I'm proud. proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And every time I hear 21 guns, I know they brought another hero home to us. For those thankful for the things we've done, and we can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington. Yeah, dust to dust, don't cry for us. We made it to Arlington.